The podcast you are about to hear contains adult themes, including, but certainly not limited to, bloody, sexy imagery, profane enthusiasm, gay giggles, and horror film spoilers. If this lewd behavior will displease you, feel free to exit this podcast zone. If you're unsure, check out the overture to get a taste of what's to come. If you're definitely sticking with us, strap in and let's go. Five, six, seven, eight, gay rights, gay rights, gay rights, gay rights, rights, gay rights, trans rights,
trans rights,
trans rights. We just wanted to open the show as gay as possible. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Final Girl Standing, a podcast that is gay. And it's also a podcast about final girls.
Yes, it is.
When it comes to this podcast and the gayness that it brings to your ears every week, it's important for the gay agenda.
It's important
for the gay agenda. So again, welcome. This is Final Girl Standing, a podcast where each week I, your host, Alyssa, along with my co-host.
Hello, I'm Jessie. I'm also a host.
We take final girls, pit them against each other in a March Madness style bracket to see who will be the final girl standing. Ayo, gay rights. Okay. So.
Naturally.
Welcome to the pod. This week, we will be fighting. Who are we going to fight, Jessie?
This week, we are fighting Mia from Evil Dead and Maxine from X.
Boom, baby.
Technically, we kind of reversed that order. We watched Maxine from X first, then we watched Evil Dead with our friends.
With our spoopy crew.
Yeah, it's true. Now, it's important
that we set up the context.
Exactly, because how did we even choose these women?
By defining a final girl.
Yeah, exactly.
And what does that mean to us, J-Dog?
Us, in our hearts, and our souls, and our minds. It is a certain number of people have to die in the film.
For her to be deemed a final girl.
Exactly. She has to survive. She's going to be a key player in eliminating the threat. She's the one left to tell the tale. Embodies the spirit of the final girl. And then franchise girls, our faves.
Yes.
The queens will get their own bracket.
Yes. Potentially season three.
Potentially season three.
Oh my God.
Foreshadowing. Okay. But yeah, the most important rule out of all of this is that we reserve the right to break any of these rules at any time because it is our podcast.
It's our podcast.
It's our podcast.
It's our podcast.
So we can do whatever we want. But both of these women fulfill the brief.
Fulfill the rules.
Yes.
Huzzah.
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 We've done it.
We've done it.
We're so responsible now.
We're so good at podcasting.
Season one anymore.
Lupita Nyong'o has approved the pod. We're soaring. We're flying. There's not a star in heaven we can't reach.
Exactly. So yeah, we're on our best behavior basically with this one. Now we need to get to know whomst these gals are.
Yeah, so who the whammen are this week. So
again,
we're doing Maxine from X. That's going to be our girl number one, and then also Mia from 2013's Evil Dead.
Yes, 2013. Thank you for the distinction.
So let's dive right into it. Let's dive into this fucking gay ass podcast.
Yeah, tell me all about Maxine first.
Maxine. So okay, Maxine, aka Maxine Minx. That is her stage name.
Stop.
Yeah, her performer name.
Minx?
Yeah, Maxine Minx.
Saucy Minx.
I know, it's a saucy one. She's an aspiring porn film actor. She is dating her porn producer, Wayne. She is the child of an evangelical Christian family, but she ran away from her Christian family.
The royalty.
To pursue a life of drug-fueled pornography making. Pornography making. She is played by Mia Goth, who is the screen queen of my heart and mind. We love Mia Goth.
The Mona Lisa.
The Mona Lisa of horror.
Of horror.
I love it. That's, that really is an apt description for her. She kind of is the Mona Lisa of horror.
Yeah, exactly.
I love it. Okay. And then astrology is unknown. And also this whole movie takes place in 1975. So with that being said, she was probably born in the 50s. She's like 20 something.
Okay. Is she 20?
She's 20 something. Okay. I don't know how old she actually is.
Okay,
but
okay.
She's a youth. She's of youth. You know what I mean? Which is a key factor in this movie, youth.
Yeah, it's giving 21.
Yes, it is giving 21.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. So that is the background information that we have on Maxine. Let's go ahead and break down our impressions, Jay.
Yeah, so my first impression of Maxine, so this was actually our second time watching this. The first time we watched it, we got an exclusive stream, and we watched it together in my living room, and then we watched it again together in my living room. So I already kind of knew Maxine, but I just wrote down some first impression based on like the first few scenes with her, which are very iconic. So Maxine is an eyeshadow wearing, coke doing starlet. She is hungry for fame, ready to fuck shit up. Cosmopolitan taste with a dream to chase.
Nice. I love it. Okay. My first impressions are obviously very similar. I said she's a cocaine queen, an absolute sex symbol.
You know what I mean? You freaked out right when that line happened. The first time and the second time. I loved
it. I was like, yes, I'm in. Give it to me. An absolute sex symbol. Also, something that I think that kind of like strikes me in my first impression of her is that she like truly does not give a single fuck what other people think about her.
Yeah.
Like she wants.
She knows.
Yeah. She like wants fame and like is hungry for fame. Yeah. But at the same time, like she's not going to let other people's opinion of her stop her getting that dream. Right?
Which is why I have the astrological predictions that I have, which is like it's giving Leo and it's giving Aries. Mm-hmm. Like there is so much fire because like Leo, she knows she's a star.
Yes.
She owns the room when she walks into it. Mm-hmm. But Aries is like, I don't give a fuck about anything. Yeah. And I will set the world on fire to achieve whatever the fuck I want to achieve. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's where it's
that's giving. Valid. Yeah. I think it's a valid assessment of the astrology.
It could just be the cocaine or it could be that she's an Aries.
it could be the cocaine or could she be an Aries?
Maybe she's born with it.
Maybe she's cocaine. It's cocaine. Maybe she's born with it and maybe it's cocaine.
Yeah. It's beautiful.
Okay. So scores?
Me first? Or
yeah,
you first?
It's always you first, baby.
Me first, baby.
Ladies
Sorry.
First.
Yeah, why did I think otherwise? Ladies first. Stop. I'm a boy.
I'm a newsie.
I'm a newsie.
Jesse okay. describes her gender as newsie.
When asked what my gender identity is, it's newsie, okay? I'm just a poet from the 1800s that's a woman, but then I put my name out as a man to be published.
Yes.
Do you see what I mean?
Correct.
That's my gender. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, I'm so sorry. Let's get into these fucking scores. Okay, here's Maxine.
Let's do it.
So, initially, she's not making great decisions. She goes up to the house when the old lady beckons her, you know, from afar. And she goes into the house after that. Like, yeah. 2 out of 10 okay. in our decision-making skills at that point in the film. It's like, oh, maybe that's nice. No, it's like, it's not nice. Get the fuck out. You should not be walking up to that house. I don't think.
Okay, that's keep going.
Anyway.
I have a different take, but we'll hear it.
Oh, really? Okay, because I was just like, no. affirmations queen. Yes. I will not accept a life I do not deserve.
Will not accept a life I do not deserve.
Also, shouts out, because that was her father.
Yeah.
That was saying that on the television, we learned later, which is wild. The whole thing is really giving Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Like,
yes. As it should.
As it should. In a classic slasher sitch. Mm-hmm. Maxine is also just, like, kind of not the main character. It's like, everybody's the main character a little
bit. The whole movie is a very ensemble cast moment, which is interesting because I feel like a good slasher kind of is. You know what I mean? Like, a good slasher, you care a lot about, like, all the characters individually. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Well, and what's her name from Texas Chainsaw Massacre?
Sally.
Thank you, Sally.
Immediately forgets.
Thank you. Yeah. Sorry, Sally. But, I mean, she made it to tier 2 last season. But,
she did.
Sally, wasn't really the main either. No. That's kind of what I'm saying.
Like,
there's not a whole lot focused around here. In fact, I only have one page of notes for Maxine, which is like kind of shocking. I'm usually like two pages and a half.
Yeah.
She's a heavy sleeper, which is just a problem.
It's an issue.
Like,
it's an issue.
I don't know. 1,000 Z's. Yeah. 1,000 Z's. her eyeshadow, she sleeps with it on. Negative 10 out of 10 influencer points there.
Never,
like, what are we doing?
Sleep with the makeup on.
It's just
take the makeup off.
It's so bad for the complexion. she is a good 10 out of 10 stealth mode. She's under the bed while that whole time those people are fucking and manages to crawl out unscathed, undetected.
True.
She is very good once she needs to get action oriented, which makes me feel Aries yet again because it's like She does cocaine, first of all, which is questionable. We'll get into that in just a moment. But when she hears the scream, she grabs a gun. Like, mm-hmm. her weapon-grabbing abilities mm-hmm. are good. Just kind of like the people in last episode were pretty good at finding mm-hmm. a weapon.
Like, easily arms themselves.
Yes. Mm-hmm. She grabbed a gun when it was available. She had good instincts of, like, let's stick together.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I wrote some stuff in quotes here. Where are the keys? She's like, we're fucking getting in the car. Mm-hmm. We're going. She 0 out of 10 though mm. for not knowing the weight of a loaded weapon
mm.
because she grabs the gun mm-hmm. and she just, it's empty.
It's empty.
Mm-hmm. Good instincts, bad, uh-huh. bad form. yeah. She also knows to drive a car even if it has a knife.
Yeah.
In the tire.
Yeah.
Which fucking,
when people like see a slit tire or a slash tire in a movie, they're like, oh, I guess it's fucked. No, bitch, drive on the fucked up tires. Yeah,
no, it's she. It'll really take you good a while. Survival instincts yeah. in that moment.
Oh, except she doesn't drive the original van that gets the tire slashed. She drives the truck, the people's truck.
But it had a tire slashed.
Did it?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
No, they slashed the tires of the.
Oh, and she took the truck of the.
She took their truck. She took Pearl and the old man's truck.
Oh, never mind. Yeah. Sorry, never mind. Fuck that. I was like, good job. I think I even wrote moral of the story. Cars still work, even if they're.
That is a good moral of the story, though. That, I mean, we should all remember that. Drive on a fucked up car tire if you have to escape.
I mean, I think that's the. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that's the moral of the story, but like also kind of doesn't apply. You know, she's yeah. whatever. But the thing is, she makes questionable decisions in terms of, like, taking a bump of coke immediately after Pearl, like, gropes her.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
and, like, doing coke around every corner, essentially.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just I negative said, 10 out of that 10 because of the coke dependency. That she does another bump as she's leaving, too. It's like.
I mentioned that she does cocaine in crisis a lot. Like, when she's in crisis, she takes a bump. You know what I mean? Which, like, yeah. is a choice. You know what I mean?
She also takes it before she goes on a car ride, and she takes it before she does porn. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know. I feel like it's like...
She's got a dependency on cocaine.
Yeah. It's a cocaine dependency, and yeah, it's yeah. going to be a hindrance.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Mm, okay.
Yeah. I mean, those are my scores for her at this point. I think that we said this at the end of the film when we were watching it together, but like, she doesn't strike me as a fighter necessarily. Like, I think she is an escaper. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Interesting.
And like, gets into a survivory mode, but she doesn't fight anyone necessarily, right?
Interesting.
She just tries to get the fuck out of there.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. You know?
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Let me give you my scores. So, cocaine queen, cocaine baddie, cocaine hottie, loves coke, loves to snort that snow.
What?
She likes cocaine.
Do people say that?
No, I just made it up.
Okay, I don't know.
As someone who's never done cocaine a day in their life.
Yeah.
That's what I came up with.
I am also not in that zone.
Let's see. I was going to say she is in a relationship with her porn producer. Mm. So she's very like, knows how to seize opportunities, right?
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, clearly, like, her and her porn producer, like, her and Wayne, like, kind of do love each other. Like, it's very obvious that they're in love with each other. But, like, at the same time, like, she probably got in that relationship to become a star.
Yes.
Right?
Well, so he's a Capricorn.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
In my mind.
Yes. She's very opportunistic, is what I would say. Let's see. She hates blood and guts. She says it at the beginning of the movie when the cow gets hit by the truck, and she goes,
yuck.
I hate blood and guts. And she does that little, you know what I mean?
No stomach for it.
Let's see. She grabs a gun at the first smell of bullshit. So the second she smells bullshit, she fucking grabs a gun. Doesn't know that it's unloaded, unfortunately for her, but she does grab, that's her instinct, is to grab a gun when she smells bullshit. Yeah. You know what I mean? Is extremely hot. Like, probably one of the hottest final girls I've ever witnessed with my eyeballs. You know what I mean? The side boob game, the under boob game.
Mm-hmm. In the overalls.
In the overalls. I mean, fuck it up, fam. Let's see. You mentioned the following the old creepy lady as like a... As like, I definitely still consider it a hindrance. I think why she follows the creepy old lady is not good instincts. But I think the instincts of it are not, I would say that it's not because she's dumb.
Right.
I think it's because she's Southern and believes in hospitality.
Sweet home Alabama.
You know what I mean? Problem. And she's like, I'll help the old lady. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Totally.
And so I think that that's where that comes from. Let's see. Just generally shouting out how horny I am for this movie. let's see. Do-do-do-do. She is a freewheeling sex worker, though. She does believe in, like, radical beliefs. She believes in, like, the liberation of sex workers and, like, the liberation of sex in general.
Yep.
In that amazing conversation that they had on the couch when they all of a sudden start playing Landslide on the guitar. That's with great. Brittany Snow and Kid Cudi, who's in this movie. Kid Cudi and his enormous dong are in this movie.
Yep.
But I consider someone who has like positive politics towards sex work as someone who like is down with a level of liberation that feels like kind of radical. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like being open towards sex work kind of gives you a little bit of a radical edge. And I think that people who have a more radical edge to them are a little bit more dangerous than other people. You know what I mean? Because they know that there's something to live for and something to fight for.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And they see past like the norms and the taboos.
Exactly.
To get to like humanity.
Exactly.
Honestly. I mean, like being pro sex work is like being pro human.
Yeah.
I think.
Exactly. Yeah. For sure. Okay. Let's see. The deep sleeping, I'm going to say like, obviously, it's a slight against her, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not even just in the sense that, like, she needs to wake the fuck up and understand what's going on around her, but also, like, in the sense that, like, why is she sleeping so deep? Because she's on a lot of cocaine.
Her cocaine dependency would argue that she should not be sleeping.
Exactly.
So
it's
peacefully.
It's confusing to me.
I don't know.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anyway.
She gives, like, She's just a little young thing.
She's a little young thing. You know
what I mean? And she uses up all her energy and then she just conks out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Uh-huh. Like...
She's a 21-year-old living her best
life. She's a little thing. She's been doing a lot of sex work earlier, and now she needs to get some sleep.
She needs to get some sleep. I was going to say, something that I really appreciate about this movie in general, it's not a score for her, but the orgasm sound design in this movie is incredible.
Oh, interesting.
The, like, sound design of the orgasms that are, like, sprinkled throughout the movie is just so good and so horny and so chef's kiss that I needed to shout it out before we wrap up our scores about her, because it's good. She has pretty solid running form. When we see her run, she runs pretty well.
Okay.
Arms herself when entering a dangerous situation. We saw it at the beginning of the movie. We see it at the end of the movie, right? She's very good at a dramatic speech, which, in my opinion, gives you 10 points to Gryffindor. You know
sure,
what I mean?
Yeah.
I love a dramatic speech. In our last episode, I gave someone points for a dramatic speech. Who do I give points for a dramatic speech?
Who were the two people in last episode?
Cecilia and Aaron. Both of them had a good dramatic speech.
Oh, you liked Aaron's, though, because she says, why the fuck not?
Yeah, why the fuck not? I think there's something cinematic about it that I like it. Let's see. So towards the end of the movie, I was like, her kill count is one, right? But her kill count is also a no remorse kind of kill. Like, she has zero gripes with killing people.
Right, and she didn't need to.
Yeah, exactly.
She was already escaping.
Exactly.
And decided to run over the old lady.
Exactly. You know what I mean? So, like, sure, maybe she hasn't killed a lot of people, and maybe she doesn't have that, like, you know, kill count in the numbers that Mia has that we're going to be talking about, but she will kill a bitch and will not hesitate to kill a bitch.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Plus, that bitch groped her. It wasn't
true.
Like, she was personally provoked by the old lady.
Exactly, correct.
And, like, many ways.
Yes, exactly. And the last thing that I said is that she's doing cocaine up until the very end.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Which leads me to believe that drugs will play a key part in this fight.
Okay. Let's get on to
Mia.
Mia, because I have a very similar vein of thought around drugs.
Okay.
Yeah.
So let me break down our next character, which we have is Mia from Evil Dead 2013, to clarify. Mia Allen, born in 1987, to a parent family situation where she is in a single family home. She has a brother named David. According to my research, it's her half brother. I don't know why. I don't know what happened there. But she grew up in kind of turbulent environment because her mom has mental health problems. Her mom ended up dying in a mental health facility as she went crazy towards the end. She was born in 1987, which makes her 26 during the events of the film.
Okay.
So a little bit older than Maxine, I'm going to assume. Let's see. Her family owns a cabin in the woods in Tennessee. She is a recovering drug addict. So she is trying to get sober, has tried multiple times to get sober now, has failed. She has died once legally. And by the end of the film, she has died twice legally.
Exactly.
So we'll put that in the scores in a bit.
Yeah,
but
definitely want to talk about how she's dead already.
Yeah. So those are my background information for Mia. Would you like to dive into your scores?
Well,
or your first impressions, I mean. Sorry.
I do want to get into my first impressions. And like, I also think that it is a full-on travesty that they would give us 1987, but no month.
I know. Fuck.
Or date.
Fuck.
Or anything.
I know. I want to know this bitch's
astrology.
Don't
they know that we need to know?
We need to know the astrology. I just want to put a blanket shout out to any director or screenwriter out there. If you are making a movie, put the birth dates of your characters in the movie.
Or if you're like the angel Lupita Nyong'o, you will tell us what your intentions were when you played that character.
Exactly.
Like,
be like Lupita.
Just be like, why can't you be more like Lupita?
Be more like Lupita. Okay. Sorry. Give me your first impressions of Mia.
So here's the thing with Mia. Off the shoulder wearing sweater wearer, artsy queen with mystery drug addiction. I put mystery drug addiction because it's just like a powder that she's pouring down the well.
Yeah.
She was giving more heroin than cocaine.
That's what theories were given during this movie night when we hosted it with our friends. Everyone was like, it's probably heroin.
Yeah.
Which I think was interesting because, like, when I see powder, I assume cocaine.
Right.
But I don't know.
It was in powder form in Euphoria, too. So.
Yeah, it's true.
I only know drugs from shows. I do want to say that this was my first time viewing this film, mm-hmm. which I know has a lot of lore around it because we watched the original Evil Dead as a spoop mm-hmm. group. Mm-hmm. And then, spoop group. Okay. And then we watched the 2013 together mm-hmm. with spoop group as well. So there was some cool speculations and some fun stuff to go on in there. I will also say, though, because it was my first time watching this movie, -1,000 points for all the dead cats.
Yes, there were a lot of dead cats in this film. There were.
We have pod cats on our, like, on our staff.
Mm-hmm.
So
on staff here at Final Girl Standing, the podcast, we have podcasts.
Yeah, exactly. So
they felt disrespected and harmed by this movie.
Yeah. And I was uncomfortable. I was like, they're in my living room right now watching this.
Yeah.
The youngest one was in there. I had to like shield her.
Yeah.
All in all though, a fun flick. Okay. So let's talk about Mia. Give me your first impressions. I already just said
you already gave yours? Okay. My first impression is that this bitch done been around the rehab block. She is a, you know, she gives like quirky artist vibe, like probably gifted child vibes. You know what I mean? But
ooh,
like
gifted child vibes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
And like clearly at the beginning of the movie, like the first impression that I get of her is that like as someone who like has known addicts, you know what I mean? Like she gives that like well-intended addict, like at the beginning of like a recovery cycle, but like there's something about it that I don't trust. Because, like, addicts do be addicting. You know what
they
I mean?
They do be.
So I would say that my first impression of her is that she's sweet. She's cute. She's a little artist. You know what I mean? But she has the positive intentions at the beginning of the movie. But I don't fully trust them just from the relationship that she has with her friends and what we learn later. And so, yeah.
Yeah. And it's a choice. Because, like, this is going back to women in their hysterics and people on meds.
Correct.
If she's in withdrawal, mm-hmm. it excuses her insane behavior.
Exactly.
And instead of validating it as potential threats.
Mm-hmm.
So,
we're back to that trope.
It's really just, like, too prevalent, I feel like.
It is. It's a Final Girl trope.
It is also very scary.
Like, it makes sense. As someone who, like, has mental illness and, like, has been to multiple insane asylums, and by insane asylum, I mean psychiatric hospitals that were very lovely. like, one of my biggest fears in life is that, like, I'll have to be, like, taken away and, like, restrained against my will and, like, whatever. You know what I mean? And so, like, that trope really does freak me out when I see it. I get super, like, for me, like, a horror ick or, like, a horror, like, freak out mode for me is, like, mental hospitals. Like, I can't, they freak me out a little bit just because of you know, going to them often.
The past,
going to them frequently. So, yeah, I feel that. Anyway. Scores.
Well, yeah, and I just think that it's like, let's invalidate everything about a person.
Yes.
Because they're like on a medication.
Yeah.
It's like, well, okay.
Yeah.
Like, hold on.
Yeah.
Like, that's not how it actually works. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah, not good mental health advocacy happening
not
in the horror
good.
Zone. You
what
know
the
what
hell?
Saying? Yeah. Okay, so for some scores, this is unrelated to any of her skills, but I just loved it so much. Dog naming skills, 10 out of 10. Her dog's name is Grandpa.
I know, Grandpa!
The best. Grandpa. And she's also like an artsy queen.
I know. Her drawing is really good.
I love that drawing.
It's a good one.
So for serious, though, she nursed her mother to death.
Yes.
So, and her brother was like not there for that.
Yeah.
Which gives me Cancer energy, Pisces energy from an astrological standpoint. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like making space for all that death and it like also, being a caretaker.
It also explains a lot of the drugs.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yes.
Like I would want to do drugs if I had to nurse my parent to death.
Yeah, you know exactly. What I mean? It's important to note, this is not her score either, I'm so sorry, but Glasses guy, Eric, I think is his name in the film. He looks like the Scorpio from X, which I wrote the Scorpio from X, but we didn't discuss the astrological signs of all the characters, which I made in a separate note. Maybe we'll do that for bonus content or some shit. But the director from X, they give the same kind of energy a little bit,
yeah.
too.
Mm-hmm. Shitty Scorpio dumb men.
Bitch energy. Sorry, any Scorpio men out there, I deeply apologize, especially Prince.
You Prince are, Jackson, we're sorry. Prince Jackson, you're the exception.
You are the exception, but it's a problem. Okay. Now, she does have good instincts on things like on witchy things. Like when they find this stuff in the basement, she's like, don't touch it.
Yeah.
Correct instinct to have, I think. Mm-hmm. Also, she tries to get out as soon as possible.
Yes.
And gets in a car. Mm-hmm. You know, she like, I feel like she does all of the correct steps.
Yes.
To leave the premises.
Yes.
Even though she's nobody like, wants to evacuate leave the dance floor.
Yeah. I'm infected by the sound. Stop exactly. this beat is Stop killing beat. Me.
Yeah, exactly. So we love that for
yeah.
her.
Mm-hmm.
The movement of the camera, by the way, this is just like a, since it was my first time watching the film, Virgin Eyes, I have to make a comment. When the camera's moving through the woods.
That's the iconic Evil Dead really, camera really. Movement.
Okay, interesting, because you know what it reminds me of is like Harry Potter. I'm so sorry, by the way, trans rights, but like, but
well, you know, trans rights, but sorry, quick tangent. Trans rights and the fact that trans rights, because Rupert, or not Rupert Grint, Daniel Radcliffe is like a huge activist in the trans community.
Oh, we love that.
So okay. Harry Potter stands, like there's hope. Anyway, keep going.
Yeah, love it. But when the Dementors and like the Death Eaters are moving through woods at one point, they do the same shit. Like,
which is inspired by that filmography.
I'm 100% sure. Yeah. But it was like, I was like, oh, connection.
Like, that's like, that's the thing that like loops a lot of the movies together is that like iconic, like through the woods. And it's fascinating. Like you should listen. There's this podcast called Halloweenies, which is on, which is on, the, same network that, Goodnight is, by the way, or Nightlight is, which is bloody disgusting. But Halloweenies break down like they break down like franchises.
Okay.
They break down the Evil Dead franchise and they talk about the filming of that particular moment and like the technology that they used because it was like in it was like back in the day and it was like the Bruce Campbell and Sam Raimi fam. Anyway, a tangent. Sorry.
I'll have to get into it. Uh-huh. But I've just been noticing movie things recently. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I was like, ooh, I like
movie
this.
Things.
Yeah, movie things. Her crazy eyes are a 12 out of 10.
I put it in there too.
It's so good. When she's sitting there on the bed and David comes in and she's like, it's in the room with us.
Yes.
When she is getting tree raped though.
Yes,
and
correct.
She sees Demon Mia.
Mm-hmm.
What did I write? I wrote something super silly. Like, Demon Mia is a vibe. But it's because I've been watching too many makeup tutorials on Instagram. And a lot of those makeup tutorials are like, what's it called? Like almost special effects type makeup.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like one of them is somebody who's in Glow Up. Her name's Sophie, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, she's the coolest, but she always does like weird contacts and kind of horror inspired makeup. Mm-hmm. And so then I was like, when I saw Mia, I was like, damn, like she looks great. Like
the makeup in this movie is incredible. Yeah. For the Deadites and stuff is pretty sick.
Yeah, I loved it. And the colored contacts were in there. You know, I was here for it. She does kiss the blonde, which, you know, we love a bisexual queer representation moment.
Yes.
Yeah.
Gay rights.
Gay rights. Okay. now, when she is in demon mode, like, I know she conquers her demon, but when she is dead, sort of.
We call, so in Evil Dead, they're called Deadites.
Deadites. Okay, cool. So when she's deaditing, she is really great at manipulation. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, I just made a crazy connection. Okay, so
I'm ready for it.
Okay, so like she's crying and she's like, help. And 10 out of 10 crying skills. She's doing a lullaby. You know, she's like really trying to entice and using manipulation with the mommy story and shit like that. So all of that's great, but it reminds me of Euphoria when Rue is going through withdrawals really badly and she's going back, she's pivoting really, really quickly.
A huge thing about being an addict is the ability to manipulate the people around you.
Yeah.
Like it's a you know?
But you know how sometimes she's just like, fuck you, fuck your whole thing. And then she's just like, I'm sorry, mom, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And like, that is like exactly what's happening to her as a Deadite.
Yeah.
Is like that.
The withdrawals.
Yes. Yeah. The withdrawal cycling, which is just really fucking creative.
It is. It's a very cool parallel within the movie.
Wow, I fucking love it. Okay. now, it's important to note, so she's great at manipulation. Mm-hmm. So we love that. But for scientific purposes, it's important to note that the car battery with the syringes, our PA slash MA friend, we couldn't decide if it was a physician's assistant.
Yes, he's a physician's and or medical assistant. Shout out David, our BFF.
We love you, David.
He's our number one fan. He listens to the episodes every week and watches the movies back to back.
We love it so much.
We love you.
Well, and he said that that would not work.
He said that, that medically speaking, that does not work.
And he is our judge of the truth when it comes to medical stuff.
Yeah.
So that's, yeah.
So it turns out it does not work.
Now, right up towards the end, though, she, when she's no longer a Deadite, she kind of rules.
She does.
She goes for the car. She crawls to safety. She's got good instincts there. She full on 127 hours herself. I just wrote 127 hours. We out of this bitch. Because like she like cuts her own arm off and she's like, I don't give
a
fuck.
She doesn't cut her own arm off. She rips her arm off.
Yeah.
You know?
It's good. It's good stuff. And then chainsaw skills, 100 out of 10 because she chops up her own demon. Now I have a full like full circle point here. But I want to make a shout out another film thing to the fact that she's wearing the red dress the whole time. And I think it is a continuity choice because there's so much blood raining from the sky.
For sure.
That they don't, if it was like a white dress, they would have to like remark and like and like be like, oh, we can't film right now because you're covered in blood. And at this point she wouldn't be covered in blood just yet. You know what I mean? Like, so the red dress avoids all of that. And I just thought that was a genius.
Love
1,000 out of 10. I don't know who did costumes for the show, but I'll have to look it up. Okay, here's the full circle moment. And I know I'm so sorry. I'm taking up so much space.
It's okay. Scores, keep going.
I just really liked it. Okay.
It's a good movie.
It is really good. It is a movie about a woman like championing her own demons, I think.
Yeah.
So like she is going up against herself in demon form and ends up killing her own demon, which is just like a beautiful thing when you are going through like withdrawal and addiction, and all of that shit. Now she is going up against a coke queen, somebody who is coke dependent, versus a woman who is defeated her coke demon. Do you see what I mean? Like I'm like, ooh, that puts them in two very different spots.
Exactly.
One of them is like scrappy coke fiend. The other one is like coke recovered queen.
Yes.
You know? Or heroin recovered, now that we're,
I mean, well, that's my big question is what drug is it?
But either way,
yeah,
the demon's been conquered versus the demon driving the car, which is the thing
but
going on with Maxine.
I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, hit me with your score. I want to hear
Let me give you the scores. So my first score is that she's quitting cold turkey at the beginning of the movie. She's quitting drugs cold turkey, which takes a level of constitution that not everyone has.
Yep.
You know what I mean? To quit cold turkey. That's a balls to the wall move.
Yeah.
Obviously, we know she's tried it before and failed. So it sounds like to me she's kind of an all or nothing person. She's like, I'm going to try. I'm going to give this my everything. And, you know.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. OD'd and died legally once already, right? So that means she has died twice in the course of her life and has survived death twice. She has gone to the edge of life, seen it, said, that's Gucci for me, came back real quick, right? So, I mean, that's pretty fucking fucked up, you know? Has a good sense of smell. You know what I mean?
The fact that no one else could smell that.
No one else could smell the death was weird to me.
So strange.
And so, yeah, she has a good sense of smell. So that's good for her. Maybe it's because of the heroin and she's not doing cocaine. So her nasal passages are not fucked up. So it could be the heroin. That could be a more sign that she's doing heroin and not coke. I don't know. Just a thought. Let's see. So she does crash her car when she's driving the car because she's kind of acting unhinged. And so I'm gonna put that as a slight against her. Her car handling abilities were not great because she saw a demon. And when she saw the demon, she crashed the car.
Yeah, she didn't break.
Yeah.
She could have just broke.
Yeah. You know?
She did not.
So she also has terrible running form. Her running form is awful. Did you see her run? She was like flopping around like... I don't know. It was giving Sally from Texas Chainsaw. It was very much giving Sally from Texas Chainsaw. And she also gets subdued by trees like Sally from Texas Chainsaw does.
Yeah.
But those trees were possessed.
a broom, I think.
Was... Yeah, well, she gets subdued by a broom, but also Sally, like, runs into the twigs in the middle of the forest, yeah, remember? Right. And she's just like, oh, you know? She's really good at acting unhinged. Like, she's pretty good at acting unhinged at all times, which leads me to believe that her constitution for crazy shit is pretty high. You know what I mean? Let's see. Full demon mode activated midway through the movie, right? So we don't really... So this is my question for you. Is that since full demon mode is activated towards the beginning of the movie, and we don't really see her post-demon mode until the third act, the end of the third act, are we, like, should we be counting any of the things that she does in demon mode towards her in this fight?
I think that she still had those experiences.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm thinking, like, she, like, the manipulation stuff, she could still totally do.
Yeah, totally.
You know? But yeah, I think she is post-demon or deadite. Mm-hmm. So she's going to be not as unhinged. It's a choice if she does choose to go unhinged.
Totally. I was going to say she wouldn't leave David behind to save herself. So she's a little bit sappy. She's a little bit, like,
water sign.
You know, at the heartstrings, tugging a little bit. Let's see. She picks a chainsaw over a machete, which is a choice. And it is a dramatic choice.
The cinematic choice.
It's the cinematic choice. And I'm glad she did it. But at the same time, machete, chainsaw. The machete was there first, and it was easier to get access to.
Well, nice thing about that is that your machete counts how much strength that you have physically.
Yeah, true.
Versus the chainsaw does the work for you.
For sure, for sure. So it's definitely a risk-reward analysis.
Yes. Yes,
okay. It has a bit of a potty mouth. It's a little bit...
Says some uncool things to her brother.
Says some uncool things. Crawls underneath the car for stealth mode, rips off her own hand, right? Yep. And then says, I've had enough of this shit, then rips off her own hand. And then the last thing that I just kind of want to wrap up her scores with is very similar to Maxime, has a flair for the dramatic when it comes to those line readings, right? Let me read you the last two lines that we get on her. This one is, feast on this motherfucker.
Nice.
And also, go back to hell, bitch.
Yeah, that's good.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's good.
Like, just like Maxine, she knows how to razzle-dazzle him with a little bit of a cinematic choice.
Wow. I was just about to say, you know, it kind of reminds me of Jennifer's Body, but then I was like,
Diablo Cody was on the writer team for this movie. What? Yeah. Thanks, Prince, for that movie fact that we got live in living color.
That's right. This was, like, the second spoopy thing that Prince ever did with us.
I know! Okay, so those are my scores, which means we need to jump into the fight.
Yeah, it's time to fight.
It's time for us to duke it out. And let's set the scene here. So, my back. Hold on.
Do a little stretch.
Stretch, boom. Okay. So we need to set the scene here. And how we think that we're going to kind of put these two in a universe is that we decided that there is somewhere in the South a rundown, beaten old little pond area with a shack. Where hillbillies can go to make love, do drugs, and enjoy the summer.
I think what we decided was pond side on a southern property.
Pond side on a southern property.
So it's like the heat of the summer. Mm-hmm. You can hear the cicadas.
Uh-huh.
There's a dock, kind of a shambly dock.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a shed, an old shed with like life preservers and shit.
And
in
maybe
it.
A chainsaw.
And maybe a chainsaw. There's some stuff in
There's some stuff in
maybe
there.
Even like if it's for fishing,
maybe
a fish filleter. Do you know what I'm talking about?
A fish filleter?
So like it's a powered knife.
Oh yeah.
Have you seen
like
it? Where
the
it's
one
a serrated powered knife and you turn it on and it goes
like the one that the girl in Evil Dead cuts her arm off with?
Oh, probably.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
That makes sense.
Swag.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, cool.
Oh, perfect. It's so on theme.
Amazing.
Yeah, so, but it's like that. Maybe something like that in the shed.
Mm-hmm.
And I can attest this because my grandfather has a lake house in Texas.
Wow.
And in the shed, there is a fillet fisher thing.
Amazing.
Like that. So we know it's real.
Okay. Okay, so where are these bitches starting off at? Who's going to start the fight? How's the fight going to get going? What are we thinking?
I'm feeling... Maxine is on the dock, like maybe feet in the water.
I think she has her top off.
Probably.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Considering a swim.
Yeah.
Is her top going to be off for the whole fight? Maybe she's maybe she's overalls side boob time.
I don't mind her having her top off for the whole fight, but that's just me.
You don't mind?
I don't mind.
That's so generous of you. And then where's Mia.
I think Mia, I think Mia's in the shade, maybe drawing a picture of the lake or of the little pond area.
And the two of them have a peaceful, lovely afternoon.
Yeah. And they have a beautiful afternoon. They maybe they do a little drugs together. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. End of fight.
End of fight.
No. No. Okay. So I think what happens is that Maxine is on the you know, the dock. She's just chilling. She's sunbathing. She whips out a little of the drugs and she goes, I'm going to snort some drugs, right? And she goes, you know, and then she turns to Mia and goes, hey, you want some drugs, right?
And you then Mia, bump?
Yeah, Mia goes, nah, bruh, like I'm sober, right? And then Maxine goes, fuck that shit.
Yeah, she says something like, pussy.
Yeah. And then Mia's like, what the fuck did you just say to me? Mm-hmm. Gets a little unhinged for a moment.
Yep.
And says, I'm going to drown this bitch.
Yep.
So she pushes her into the water.
She's on the shade. So does she get up and like charge?
Yeah, she gets up, charges, and pushes her off the deck into the pond.
Okay.
What happens next?
Well, if Mia is in the water at this point. No, Maxine is in the water. Oh, the M names are really going to get me on this one. I can feel it. Okay. Maxine, the X from the movie X, is Maxine. Okay. Uh-huh. So, Maxine is in the water at this point. Mm-hmm. Mia, I think, is, if she wants her to stay in the water, she might try to drown her. Mm-hmm. But she's got the advantage point right now. So I think she's like kicking off her little booties from 2013, you know, her boots. And maybe taking her sweater off to maybe jump in as well to do a little water fight time.
Okay. So you think they're both in the water now?
Yeah, I think she's taken off her boots and I think she's kind of jumping in, maybe trying to land on top
to drown her,
Maxine, to do a drowning thing.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's sort of the goal. But I think that maybe in that time frame that Maxine is kind of making some moves in the water, like potentially heading towards like a reeded area, you know, and trying to like get away.
Okay. So you think maybe Maxine swims toward, go.
Well, sorry, I just wanted to like, so as she's swimming towards the reeds, I think that Mia jumps in after her and tries to kind of maybe gets towards her shoulders and like a hair pulling action.
Oh, okay.
Like wet hair.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. So I think that Maxine is in the reeds, right? And Mia's just kind of like swashing through the water, trying to like get at her, right? I think that she grabs her hair. I think she grabs her and starts pulling. I think that Maxine starts screaming, being like, what the fuck? You know what I mean? Like gives like a real like dramatic ah. And I think she starts clawing at her with nails. So I think that she makes contact with the cheek. She scratches her on the cheek.
I love it.
And she pushes her off. And then Maxine kind of stumbles through the reeds and is trying to like get up onto land.
Yeah, I think that while Maxine slashes on the cheek, Mia.
Uh-huh.
And Maxine starts climbing up the shore line with the reeds, kind of grabbing up there and kind of kicks Mia back.
Okay.
Right? So that Mia's still like scrambling quite a bit. And that's like a highly weird area. So there's like stuff touching your legs, touching your thing.
It's gross. It's weird.
Yeah. And I think that Maxine gets out of the water first, obviously, and starts running for the shed because she realizes it's time to get a weapon. And she's so good at weapon acquisition.
It's true.
So she's headed towards that. And Mia is still on her way out of the water.
Okay. What do you think? So in the shed, we know that there's a serrated knife.
Yes.
We know that it has to be plugged in.
Yeah. That's the other thing is that we might not have electricity, or if there is, you're going to have to plug that shit in.
Yeah. Okay.
So there's like maybe an old life preserver in there. Mm-hmm. There's, let's see, what else should be in there? Maybe a fishing rod.
Okay.
What else?
I think
maybe a net.
Okay. Well, I think that if Maxine is going for the shed, she's going to grab the knife. She's going to grab the serrated thing. She's going to grab the thing that looks most violent, right?
Yeah.
So I think she grabs that, right? And I think that Mia at this point is also stumbling up onto land, right? I think Mia stumbles up onto land and what?
No, keep going. Okay. I just have an idea of what happens next.
Mia stumbles up onto land, right? And she's like squaring off with Maxine. And Maxine now has this serrated thing. And I think Maxine's first instinct is not to run at her. I think it's to kind of like be like, stay the fuck back, bitch. You know what I mean? Like kind of like holding the serrated knife and being like, don't get any closer, right? What happens next?
Okay, because I was going to say, I feel like maybe Maxine like hides in the shed.
Oh, okay.
But I don't know, like with the knife.
Uh-huh.
But it's okay. If they're still squaring off, we can still do something with that.
Okay.
But I think that Mia realizes that she does not have a weapon and needs to get one somehow.
Mm-hmm.
Because like unarmed, not super strong.
Yeah.
And so I think she's going to try to like probably bowl over Maxine, because Maxine is just a little thing, as we've mentioned. And so like not, like, strength-wise, doesn't
she's,
have
she's
it.
A little skinny bean.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So I think that maybe she kind of sizes her up and is like, here we fucking go, mm-hmm. and maybe tries to, like, run at her.
Okay.
In a sort of a self-preservation way. I know we've done shoulder knocking in the past, mm-hmm. like, you know, where you kind of, like, bump
check
into
each
someone.
Other. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. But she has to get a weapon, and there's really no way around a coked up
yeah.
Maxine,
yeah.
I think.
So you think she runs at her?
Yeah, I think so.
So she runs at her. Does Maxine move forward with a like intention to stab, or does Maxine kind of?
I'm thinking, yeah, I'm thinking when she sees Mia running at her, mm-hmm. Maxine's kind of like, ah, oh, fuck, mm-hmm. you know, yeah, what I mean? Yeah. And like doesn't really know what she's doing. She's coked out, so yeah, maybe yeah. she kind of just like moves out of the way,
yeah,
which means Mia runs into the shed, mm. maybe with more force than she was really expecting, so uh-huh. maybe kind of landing on a pile of like maybe old fishing nets or something like that, mm-hmm. And kind of like feeling around for a weapon, mm-hmm. And maybe she grabs a hold of like a fishing rod, uh-huh. I'll just say.
Okay.
And kind of like has it at the ready.
Okay.
Just as something to hit someone yes. with, you uh-huh. know what I mean? And I think Maxine is outside of the shed at this point. She's moved out of the way. She sees her tackled and she's like, I think I'm going to jump on her
uh-huh.
to
okay.
get into like potentially a tussle within the fishnets.
Okay.
And we've got two weapons kind of going on in here.
Okay.
What do you think?
So I think the tussle begins. The tussle begins. And I think that Maxine just did a line of coke. Right? So she's fucking bumped up, right? Yep. I think that she's getting a little feral. I think she's going a little like, rah, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? But I think now that Mia is no longer on drugs, is making the smarter choice. So I think that when Maxine starts to go feral, Mia takes a fishnet, like throws it around her and like starts like pulling her down to the ground.
Ooh, love that. So she tries to like entrap her a
yeah,
little bit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I think... Yeah. Sorry, keep going.
No, go.
Maxine is thrashing in the net, right? I think Maxine's trying to cut it with the knife thing, but I think when she's trying to cut it with the knife thing, Mia grabs hold of her arm that's cutting with the knife and is trying to rip the knife cutter out of her arms. So she's trying to rip it out, like, away from her to take that weapon from her.
Okay, cool.
What happens next?
Well, I think that at this point, because she's like pulling so hard on Maxine's arm,
uh-huh.
I think that she drops the knife, but okay. it's still kind of like tangled in the net. So it's still uh-huh. kind of a loose knife at this point, uh-huh. which is like not safe. Uh-huh. But I think that in that she definitely gets kind of like some kind of arm injury.
Mm-hmm.
And so then we've got this loose knife,
uh-huh.
which I think that at that point, maybe... Mia tries to grab a hold of it from the outside uh-huh. of the net and try to do some kind of like
oh.
slicing motion at Maxine's legs
uh-huh.
potentially, right?
Okay.
And kind of like trying to. So I think that her legs are getting kind of cut up at this point.
Okay.
And Maxine is working really hard to free herself from the netting. Maybe at that mm-hmm. point she kind of like finds an opening to come out uh-huh. at the top.
Okay. I think that Maxine is bleeding now.
Yeah.
I think Maxine is bleeding. And so I think what Maxine does is when she's trying to rip out of the net, she's trying to smuggle her way out to escape. She's trying to get out of this. She's not trying to fight anymore. She's trying to escape, right? And I think that what Mia does is Mia, so she gets her a couple times with the knife, right? I think that Maxine struggles as trying to get out and she rolls kind of out of the shed. Mia now has access to the knife because she's rolled out of it. So she grabs the knife, right? I think that Maxine runs towards the dock again to do a line of coke. So I think that what she does...
Is her coke on the dock? Is
yeah, that, we just, it didn't
okay.
go in the
she
water.
Left
she
it.
Yeah,
okay.
left it there. So she does a bump, right? And she's like, okay, right? And then I think that what happens is that Mia runs at her with the knife, stabbing her in the shoulder. But then because Maxine is coked up, she goes... And she just like fucking like try like starts wailing and screaming around like acting like a crazy person. You know what I mean?
Okay. I think that Mia knows her way around an electric sharp thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so I don't know. I kind of feel like at this point, if she's stabbing her,
mm-hmm.
Did she find any way to like plug it in? Because that's a lot of time to get to the dock and
yeah.
do a bump.
So she found an extension cord.
I think during that time, Maxine went, got her drugs out uh-huh. in all of that time,
uh-huh.
like found an extension cord and like plugged in this thing. So uh-huh. I think that at this point, she's actually actively sawing through.
Her arm?
Yeah, like her shoulder area, if we want to go for that area. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know. In my mind, it's like, if really... Maxine is going to value coke above her mm-hmm. like own mm-hmm. safety uh-huh. essentially. I think that she might even start like cutting into the neck and getting into the jugular and like starting to end Maxine.
Can I tell you how it ends?
Yeah, tell me.
So she is chopping away at her with this fucking like serrated edge, right? Maxine is screaming. She is yelling bloody murder. And so because she is screaming, an alligator starts to swim up in the pond because it's smelling the blood.
Okay.
So then what happens is that Mia cuts off her arm, throws it in the pond. The alligator chomps on the arm, is like nom, 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 right? And then what happens is that Mia removes the blade from out of her arm once she's chopped it off.
Yeah.
And she pushes her into the lake where the alligator feasts on her flesh.
Yeah.
And that's how she dies. And then Mia survives and Mia goes to round two.
Yeah.
And that means...
Oh, yeah. Well, I was going to say, and then Mia picks up the thing of cocaine, whatever, baggie.
What does she do with it?
And she dumps it into the pond.
Powerful.
She's a healed queen.
A powerful story of sobriety.
Yes.
Wow.
Powerful story of sobriety.
And that's how it ends.
Yeah.
Mia wins.
And Mia wins.
Wow. I think I knew that one going in.
I feel like she just had more.
She's fight. Died twice now.
You know what I mean? Like, there's something about her that's like, no, I can defeat all the things in
and
front of me.
And there's something about Maxine that just feels like kind of young and dumb and like a little bit. Like
she just wants to be a star. Yeah, she just wants to be a star,
which is Pearl's whole thing, but whatever.
Right, I know, sorry, I kind of mixed that up. Whatever, Mia Goth, we love you.
Okay,
wow, congrats.
Gay rights, trans rights. Woohoo. Chugga 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 choo choo.
What is that sound?
Hark! It's the appreciation train rolling into the appreciation station.
What is that sound?
What is that sound? Thank you, everyone. Thank you especially to Devin McNaughton and the Burly Girlies, who are our iconic intro to this podcast. Mm-hmm. We get Devin McNaughton's lovely vocal cords letting us know what you can expect from the pod, and the Burly Girlies giving us their jam bop that is Whore for Horror to really bring you into the vibes of the pod. Mm-hmm. So thank you to both of you for giving us your content.
It draws you in. It sets the tone. We love it.
We love it.
We also love Prince Jackson, who is our pod father. Horror papa. Also, he watched Evil Dead with us. Thank you. He's also creator of the Good Night Network, which is the network we are under. So thank you for letting us exist.
Woo-hoo.
Let's get into general gratitude. You want
to
go first?
General gratitudes. I would like to thank my spoopy crew, most importantly this week, because they watched one of the shows with us. And it was such a fun night. It was so fun. And it just reminded me of like how much fun like watching movies with your friends are. Yes. So I'm going to encourage you all to watch a movie with your spoopy crew this week.
Yeah.
So if you didn't watch the movies that we listened to for this episode, I mean, go do that. Because
you should be doing that.
You should be doing that. So get on it. But I also like to thank Jesse, as always, of course, for being the love of my life, the star of my heart, and also for allowing me to come into their home every time we record. So thank you for giving us the space to record a podcast.
I want to thank Alyssa for always coming over here to record, and also for like being comfortable with how ever changing like our podcast setup is. Like sometimes it's in the bedroom.
Iconic.
Sometimes it's in the office. Right now we're in the office with like multiple cookbooks holding up our microphones. So, you know.
It's iconic. It's DIY.
It's a DIY institution. Yeah. So so thank you so much. And also thank you for coming up with this idea and including me in this journey, because it's been so much fun. And I want to thank the crew, which is the podcasts.
The podcasts. The podcasts who helped set up the what we got going on today.
Yes. And thank you to my spoopy friends, because it is always a joy to have you over and do these spoops together. I also want to thank the listeners. Thank you guys so much for being on this journey with us. Season two, you know what you gotta do, which is follow us on social media, right, Alyssa?
Follow us on social media.
How can
baby
they do that?
They can do that by following us on either Instagram or on Twitter. You can follow us on Instagram at Final Girl Standing Pod, or you can follow us on Twitter at Final Girl _Pod. That's where we have all the information about the bracket, all the information about the episodes, everything Final Girl Standing that you need to know. Mm-hmm. I also wanted to give an update for last week's poll for who was going to win.
Yes.
So interestingly enough, the poll last week said 71% of people thought Aaron was going to win, and only 29% thought Cecilia was going to win.
Wow.
So
interesting
how that played out.
It did play out very differently.
If you have not seen or listened to the episode,
yeah,
go listen now. Yeah, go ahead and follow us on those social media so you can get informed, and also so you can participate in those polls and be more active in the pod.
Just be more like David, who texts us every time they watch one of the movies and listen to the pod.
We want your feedback immediately after you listen, and we want it to be good feedback that says that we're great and that we don't need to change anything we ever do.
Yeah.
So if you could just do that for us, that would be great.
Yeah, thank you.
And next week, Jesse.
Next week is tier 2. It's the first fight of tier 2, which is going to be Miss Caroline from Little Monsters versus Sarah from The Descent.
Whoa.
Which is so cool. I'm so fucking excited because both those movies rock and both of those women are amazing.
Oh, sorry, announce the next person, then I want to say something about tier 2.
Oh my God, we're doing two fights in the next episode because it's tier 2. Jesus H. Christ. which is going to be Cecilia from The Invisible Man versus Mia from 2013's Evil Dead.
Wow. I just want to say that this tier 2 is a fiery bracket. Like, there's not a single final girl on that list that I'm like, they're going to lose because they all seem like they're
winners in my heart.
They're all winners in my heart. But yeah. So that's what your homework is to do, is to prep your mind, body, and soul for tier 2, baby.
Catch up on the films.
Catch up on the films.
If you're just a tier 2 listener, that's cool too.
That's fine with us. Just do what you got to do. Mm-hmm. And as always, let's send off our heroic final girl, Maxine, into the universe, into the unknown, into the ether, into whatever time-space continuum happens after we die.
Into an alligator's belly.
Into an alligator's belly. So let's take a moment of silence to respect our fallen final girl, that is Maxine. And moment of silence. Amen.
Amen.
I will not accept a life I do not deserve. Okay, bye.